awesome!
You people bought a ticket to see me, so shut up!
Yeah. Sometimes I get so mad, there's no control.
Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock,
I might grab a bat, I don't know, my rap, my blood boils overnight. Oh God, here goes. I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show.
So have you ever felt betrayed? Switches how you see things, realize something needs change. Cause I know you got me fucked up, let me show you what's up. Cause enough is enough. I'll take a face full of pavement just to make a statement. I know there's no turning back. Oh God, adrenaline wasted, so mad I can taste.
Welcome everyone to the Heal the Ring podcast. It is Wednesday afternoon on a beautiful July summer day. It is the NXT 2.0 review from July 12th. Yours truly was in the building in attendance, but today I am joined with the one and only part of the network, Samurai. Hello, Samurai.
Hello, hello. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. I am ready to talk some NXT 2.0. A lot happened here, a lot of situation here. We have a cash-in on a breakout tournament. We got some good singles matches. We got some tag team. We got a lot to unpack. Before we get started, don't forget, welcome to the Heal the Ring podcast. If you're not down with the Heal the Ring podcast, we got two words for you. Just subscribe. So thank you guys for joining us. Let's get right to NXT 2.0. Yours truly was in the building, but before we go live to the USA Network, we cut to the back to a final promo. We find the women's breakout champion was attacked, left unconscious on the floor, coughing, and we see her partner, NXT tag champion Cora Jade, checking up on her partner with NXT officials, and we don't know what in the world happened. We were all inside the building when this happened. We were already in our seats. We don't, you know, when the wrestlers arrived, we don't know what exactly transpired. What your thoughts when you saw that happen? No spoilers, please. Hold the spoilers. We want to tell what happened later on. We know what is it. We're going to review it, but hold the spoilers. When you saw that situation happening, what did you think right away?
I really thought that it was somebody from Toxic Faction, to be honest with you. Or it could have been Nikita Lyon, or it could have been any one of the women that were jealous of Roxanne Perez. Excuse me, you know.
Right, you saw. I mentioned you. Cora Jade was there too. You could cut a. I know they're tag team champions. They're best friends. They're on a tour. They're on the high of all highs. And of course, you know. Could you have maybe thought it might have been Cora Jade? Maybe she's a suspicious. But you're like, no, they're friends. You know. And she was actually there to her aid first day on the scene, according to when the promos cut. So you don't know if it's her. And then we think it could be a Katana or Chase. You know, they were upset too. And you know, they had some rumblings with them. You know, one tag team, maybe they want a shot at the women's tag titles. You know, maybe Katana, you know, just say, you know what, I'm, you know, let's knock her out. You know, she's not going to be holding two. She's not going to get a title shot. Maybe going to get her. We're going to cost her an opportunity to go after the NXT champion, and we get a shot at the tag titles. So I was thinking it was probably them, Katana and Chains. You know, I said, I wonder who could it be. Nikita Lyons. You know, Nikita Lyons. He'll turn mom, or maybe because, you know, because she was supposed to be in that breakout tournament due to injury, a little bit of speculation. So a lot to unpack, a lot of suspects. So we will see as the night goes along, where could it be? Who exactly was it? But when we finally kick off to the in-ring action, we start off with some singles match. We kick it off the program with none other than Brawl's veteran Apollo Crew taking on the former Imperium member. Now he's go by the name of Giovanni Vinci. Vinci was the first one to come out. Vinci looks phenomenal. Me there. If you see it on the USA Network, as soon as you see Da Vinci coming up the stairs, I am sitting there with my lovely wife. I've got the Hulk Hogan Thunderlip shirt sitting there as a cheap plug. And, of course, he looks phenomenal, Giovanni Da Vinci. I like him, the way he comes out, his persona, that character. I was one of them saying, Max Dupree, male models, here we come. You know, I know the cat, he turned around, he gave me a smirk. So I was like, yeah, I'll take it. So all in all, the repackaging of Vermin Eitner here, Giovanni Da Vinci, do you feel it, Samurai?
I do. I mean, I like it. He's good at whatever he does, so it works for him. I mean, it's so funny because when he came in the ring, he went directly to Vic and Wade and took the picture. Wade's facial expression was hilarious.
Right, and clearly the NXT universe was behind Apollo Crew. I was the only lone survivor there, going for a few other little cats there were behind Da Vinci. I was really, really cheering this guy on. I was very there. Of course, Crew, he's get a pop. I like it. Crew in NXT, he really works. And the crowd, we love that too. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against Apollo Crew, but I also want to see, you know, to me, I thought it was a litmus test. To me, it was like to see if Giovanni Vinci is going to be ready to take the next step to go to the main roster. Let me see how he's going to work with the in-ring veteran in Apollo Crew. See how that match, all in all, it was really good. You saw some various headlocks, you know, to take control. You saw some chops. You saw dips, dives, you know, dodges, all the attempts for an attack from Cruz. You saw so many flips and in-ring action, quick pace. It was clean. It was really good. As us on in NXT, I really like it. How did it look from you watching it at home while being in person?
Good. It was really amazing. The only thing I don't like is the commercials because it takes away from the action. But they had the picture in picture, so it worked.
Yeah, you see, you know, Vinci, one time he pulls Cruz by his feet, only to, you know, to climb on him with a, club him with a forearm to the back of the head on the canvas. All in all, I love this match. This was a phenomenal back and forth. Suplex City, you know, you had a chance of everyone in the crowd. You saw Apollo Crew hit three variations of suplex, German suplexes to Vinci, and we as the crowd started chanting Suplex City. My God, everyone, what a way to get heat. The way the match was phenomenal. You know, Vinci had control, then a Crew. You had so much back and forth. I really, really enjoyed it. I was excited. Of course, the refs always gets distracted in one point here. And out of nowhere, I didn't know with the crowd. I turned to my right. As I look to my right, who is sitting a couple seats to my right? None other than Zion Quinn. I said, uh-oh, Zion Quinn's out here. He's out there, you know, he saw they had a little bit of a back and forth with Crew and Zion Quinn. And I was like, something's going to happen here. He's not going to be out here just because he wants to sit with us here and cheer, you know, for Chase U. So what was your thoughts? You knew Zion was, when you saw him in the crowd, you knew he was going to some way, somehow get interjected in this match.
I did. I saw him as soon as the first time they went out to the ring, and, you know, I went out of the ring, and he smashed his head against the barrier. So, I mean, I saw him. I knew he was there. They kind of made you forget about him for a while because, you know, it was so high high impact, high octane, that you forgot about him for a while until the end of the match.
Right, and then before the end of the match, I just wanted to touch on my notes that Apollo Crews hit a huge brainbuster suplex that we went nuts. This was that took us to our feet, and you know, I make fun out of AEW crowd, and I say, you know, you could put two turds running around in a toilet bowl, and they go AEW, they go nuts. you know what? We mark out a little bit as well in NXT because we support them. And, you know, we really support them and we love it. But when that brainbuster went down, we all got on our feet. The This Is Awesome chants went rolling. The crowd was going electric. All in all, you saw the referee, though, get distracted from the outside of the ring. And boom, here comes Zion to interfere. Distracts crew for a moment. And you get the victory from Vinci. He hits for the victory. He gets the finisher. Picks up the win. Of course, a chorus of boos from the crowd. I had the only one cheering. If you look at the video, I'm there, the only one standing up, going bananas, cheering. And big win for Giovanni Da Vinci. I know some people get upset or they poo-poo. Why you're bringing in crew upcoming down to the NXT? I thought he was chasing the titles. You know, you make them lose here. Apollo Crews is there to show, to be a developer of character of these young men, to bring them up to the next level in a package. I'm not saying that Apollo Crews is coming down to NXT to be a jobber either. You know, because then you lose heat or credibility of Apollo Crews. But you got to have him get, especially if you're thinking Giovanni Vinci might be going to the main roster, taking that next level, and he looks the part with the moves, the matches, the wrestling moves, the way he carries himself, and the way he carries himself with the crowd. That WWE main roster, you know, there's no clunkiness there. And that's what Apollo Crews is there. Next test for him is going to be Zion Quinn to see he's ready to make that next move to go up. That's why they're going to work that program with Apollo Crews. You don't lose heat with Apollo Crews, but he's a seasoned veteran that's going to help these guys get their career ready to go if they're going to get ready when it calls to the main roster. So I thought it was fine. I'm still not going to poo-poo that Apollo Crews. You know, we know who he is. You know, he's going to be a Mandy Rose type of resurgent. Zach Ziggler, look what he's up to now. Now he's, you know, Big Poppy had in San Antonio on Monday Night Raw. There's a reason they go on NXT for a while to help the young guys, and to get ready for also repackaging themselves and also helping the young talent. So we'll move on to the next segment here. And we have Cameron Grimes comes out. He comes out to us, to the NXT Universe, to cut a promo. The crowd, all of us in the crowd, well, said, I don't know why they said that, you got robbed. You got robbed. You got robbed. I saw the match on the Great American Bash. I didn't think he was robbed. Did you thought it was robbed? Did it proceed to you that way?
No. The better man just won. I mean, I hate to say that about Cameron Grimes, but the better man literally, like, won. I mean, he did his best. Hit him with the cave in, and it was just not enough.
You're right. You know, if you see, and by the way, that was a really good match. If you haven't watched it, and you're listening to us for the very first time, and don't watch NXT, just go back to Great American Bash of 2022. Just watch that match between Cameron Grimes and Bron Breakker. Very good match. Very good finish. These guys really went at it. They gave their best there, and I like the fact that Grimes, the NXT Universe gave him the pop he needed. He also addressed us back. And one guy, you know, there's always a guy in the audience who was loud, said, you know, you lost because you're a loser. And I like the fact that Grimes addressed, though, and said, yeah, I am a loser because I lost that match. You know, fans get a little bit nuts, but whatever. I like the fact that he corrected him quickly. I also like the fact that he corrected himself. He botched. He made a botch there. He misspoke and said he was fighting Bron Breakker for the North American champion. That's the second time that Cameron Grimes, I guess he misses his North American title. He mentioned it instead of the NXT title. So I was like, oh, come on, Cameron, don't mess up. Because I think the executives and higher-ups are watching you to see if you're ready. Also, another candidate to move up. I love all these in-ring competitors in NXT because I get to see them, you know, and I get to be part of that audience, and I see these guys grow, and yes, it will sadden me to see them go to the main roster, but I gotta, you know, they gotta go like kids out of your house. They're gonna go, you know. So I appreciate these guys' talent in NXT, and you know, it's gonna be, you know, It's going to be sad when he leaves, but the new crop of wrestlers will come in. But all in all, I like his addressment of Braun and all. But then we get a music come out, and then the new JD Madugu, formerly known as Jordan Devlin, makes his way. I was like, oh, here we go. Now, when he came out, I was like, are they going to be an alliance? Because they kind of teased Cameron Grimes on being either a heel, kind of like a heel turn, or a tweener, or a face. So today, and that promo, he looked like a heel. What do you thought here?
I think that yes, he was supposed to be going from heel to face, or face to heel, but I mean, I'm not sure at this point. It's like, Cameron Grimes, I mean, JD McDougal is solidified himself as a heel last week. So, I mean, Cameron Grimes, I think he's just going to stay a face. He should. I mean, he just became a face like a month ago.
And the NXT Universe loves him. You know, it's just when he fights certain performers, certain wrestlers, they crowd tend to cheer the other, you know, certain wrestlers that have NXT, they, no matter who, they're going to go towards, the crowd's going to go for that. You know, like when Breaker, they were mostly Breaker, you know. So it's interesting there, but Madugu comes in, and I like when he says, I hate to kick a guy when he's down, but let me kick a guy while he's, well, you know, but let me kick a guy while he's down, would you? And then he claims he's teasing and telling Grimes what he watched the match last time, and Grimes did a great job. But I like the fact that they got back and forth. They got in each other's face, and he says, "Why don't you try to get me? Why don't you hit me? You're gonna get me from the back of, you know, you're gonna get me from behind like you did a Braun Breaker." And they went back and forth. He even got called an Irish a-hole with the crowd chanted the a-hole chant, and then JD just headbunts him, you know, just give him a big old headbutt, and they went at it right back and forth, you know, that the normal back and forth fighting there. And then Grimes was cursing and yelling at him. It looked intense in person. You see the veins in the neck of Grimes, and he was really irate. They sold that promo lovely, Samurai. How did it look from your end at home?
It looked really good. Like, especially the headbutt. JD, he took that headbutt. I mean, it looked like he hit him up in the eye, but it was like right below the eye. So, you know, you have to be careful with the headbutt, because, you know, you can really hurt yourself.
He's got a big head. Trust me, I saw him live in person. He's got a big head. I don't know if it comes out through on camera. I say, yeah, you got a big head. So, yeah. He does got a big head. But now it sets up for next week. Tuesday night, it's going to be them two going at it one-on-one. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun match to see, you know, going at it. I personally don't remember, or I didn't watch when he wrestled. So I'm going to me, if they're going to introduce Jordan Devlin, a.k.a. Madugu, for the first time to me as an audience. And I'm going to see him there. So I'm kind of interested to see how that goes, Samurai. I can't wait to see his wrestling styles going next week. That's going to be a good match there. So we'll move on here. We saw a backstage promo. We saw a little bit when we're there live in the audience. You do see some of the promos, but it's hard to hear because there's music. There's stuff going on. They're either giving us free t-shirts. They're a prop, you know, they're talking to the crowd or giving us something free, NXT tickets for backstage. Or, you know, there's always something to get us going. So it's hard to see sometimes those promos. But we saw that promo where we saw Damian Kemp, Roderick Strong, you know, Strong chastising Kemp, blaming him for holding him back last week when the two Diamond Mine members challenged the fellow miners, Judas and Brutus. Remember, they fought for the tag team titles. Kemp attempt to explain himself to Strong and insulting Kemp. And, you know, they stared at one another and they said, you know what, next week I'm going to teach you, I'm going to embarrass you. Now, there's some people that do podcasts, other shows. There's sometimes I listen to, because you gotta know your competition. You gotta know who you're gonna pin. You know who you're gonna pin and put them in a sleeperhold and submit them out and make them tap out. So you gotta understand how to, you know. So you gotta know. You know, you gotta scout the match, because because we're here. We're gonna knock the competition and put them to sleep. So, all right, they're talking about Diamond Mine should be broken up. That what the hell they're doing? I'm like, can you let the long-term booking play itself out here with Roderick Strong and Diamond Mine. Yes, it looks like the club is going to split, or they might just kick him out of the damn Diamond Mine. So do you think, my question to you is, knowing that next week is going to be Damian Kemp and Roderick Strong, do you think this is going to be the end of Strong out of Diamond Mine finally? Like, you know, he might put a hurting on Damian Kemp so bad that's going to bring everyone out to his aid?
Well, yes. And yes and no, because I mean, I do see Roderick Strong losing, because like he's been on a losing streak ever since, you know, like what, last year sometime. But I mean, realistically, I don't want to see him go, because we all know that what's going to happen. Like he's just wrestling until the end of his contract, essentially. Because you know his wife's in AEW, so I think. Yeah, I think she's in AEW. But I mean, I like Roderick Strong. I mean, he may be bland and boring to some people, but he's really a very good professional wrestler. Only thing that he needs to work on is his promo ability. That's the only thing he really needs to work on. There's really no mouthpiece in the Diamond Mine, because they all have their own qualities. But yeah, I mean, without Roderick Strong, Diamond Mine, I feel like it goes nowhere. So I think that I'm still saying, you know, that they should stick together. Diamond Mine is forever.
Which possibility there? Possibly there. Like you said about not having a mouthpiece, I've been, you know, we know that Bivens, you know, Stokely, no longer there. He was the mouthpiece of that Diamond Mine facet. Maybe and that's why it sucks that Roderick Strong is not good mouthpiece, because he does, be honest with you, he looks like he's gonna, and no disrespect to Roderick Strong, I hope he stays in NXT and I like what he's giving us, but he will get lost in the main roster because he's not physically WWE what they look for. He looks more of independent, in an indie wrestler. You know, great work, you said, great worker. Maybe he might be transitioning to a manager, you know, in the main roster, but he doesn't have the microphone skills. So it'll be interesting to see. And I'm surprised that they didn't grant him his release when he asked for it, because they probably do see something. Maybe he is a good in-ring worker, you know, to help. Remember, this, they need these veterans and these guys that could really work well to help along these young developing kids. It's not just about them getting over sometimes, because they also want to help to get the younger generation over, at least to do a clean armbar or a clean body slam, know how to take the fall, learn how to do some simple drop toe hold, you know, side Russian leg sweep, those type of things to make it look good for us as an audience, and they're one basic one-on-one wrestling. So that's why they keep a Roderick Strong. They might get frustrated and want to release because they want to be part of the, they're missing out in being part of the varsity or the junior varsity in AEW, you know, and that's probably why that's a little, but they don't really know how much of an impact or how valuable they are to the NXT universe, to the young youth there that needs those, him to tell how to get through those ropes, do those moves and help them. Hey, how can I make this move more presentable? You know, I want to, you know, do this Russian leg sweep, or, you know, I keep using that one, but certain moves, sunset flip. Oh, you know, I want to do off the ropes. Can you teach me, help me? You know, how do I embrace the impact? So forth. And of course, they have their agents, they have their producers there to help them in the ring as well, because NXT has a lot of them there to help them. But also, when you, from an in-ring competitor night in, night out, you also, that advice goes a long way, and that's why I think Roderick Strong has a place in NXT, in my opinion. But we shall see how that goes out, how that transpires, and how that breaks out for NXT. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm thinking, like you said, I think Kemp gets a sunset roll up or a finish on Strong, and he's just gonna lose it, and he's gonna beat him down really bad. That the other members of Diamond Mine is going to come in and interject and kind of possibly inject them out of the team. I don't know. Let's just see. We'll see next week. We can't wait to see that coming forward there. So we'll move on to the next thing there, unless you have anything else to add with the Diamond Mine.
I do. Okay. Because we also can't forget about Tatum Paxley. Where is she going to fit in? I mean, we have
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was going to be the next segment. We had singles matchup. We saw last week a promo where Ivy Niles was cutting a promo about the situation that's happening with Diamond Mine. I'm glad you brought that up. And we saw that she cut her promo because she's hearing in a not just far distance from her, back and forth bickering. And you saw, you know, Caden Carter and Tatum Paxley going back and at it. And she interfered and broke that up. And then when they left, she says, "You need to handle your business." And she goes, I know. Well, you know what? Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., I want you in the dojo. So we knew it set up the chance that Tatum Paxley was working alongside Ivy Niles the whole entire week in the dojo. So now we have singles match. We're going to see the fruit of their labor. We had Tatum Paxley taking on Caden Carter with Katana Chance at ringside. Chance and Carter were the first ones to come out, of course, getting us all pumped with, you know, with I love their entrance. They're so high energetic. The crowd with the ooh, they get us going. That party atmosphere, I love when these ladies come out. They're very energetic. They get us going. And then you have Paxley come out by herself at first. I thought Niles was going to come out with her because she trained her, but she left her on her own. She says, "You got to go on your own here." So here we go. Back in the ring, the ref calls for the bell, and we're off. Paxley and Carter, they take it to the mat. They went to a regular mat. You saw Paxley use a gator roll attempt for a pin attempt. Carter easy kicks out. Carter took control, you know, and some springboard basement drop kicks, you know, for a cover attempt. Paxley rolls outside the ring, and all of a sudden, Ivy Niles comes out to ringside. So I was like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, now it leads to you there, Samurai. Do you think we're seeing a forming of a tag team here?
Yes, I do. Because like I feel like they, you know, Ivy Niles not going anywhere in the singles, you know, division as of right now, because it's too packed. They do need tag teams, so I do see them being a pair for the future. You know. I don't know how Roderick Strong's gonna take it, but you know, because as Wade Barrett says, Roderick Strong's opinion is the only one that matters.
You're correct on that, and also with NXT only has the women's champion. You know, there's not a women's North American champion or like a mid-level card champion. Where does that leave Ivy Niles? You know. Ivy Niles, you could really make her a greater, larger-than-life kind of wrestler, you know, because you see her with her physical challenge, with the barbells and workouts, and she is a phenomenal instructor, that's her. And with Nikita Lyons getting elevated and becoming on a hot roll, Roxy Perez possibly becoming women's champion tonight, there's a lot of other, you know, Abba Fire getting, you know, literally coming into NXT on fire, you know, even though she's got her own business right now. But those are ladies that you can see there to be for a woman's title run. And then Ivy Now as well, you know, you don't want to lose her and bury her. So you want to probably push her towards the women's tag team. And why not a better opportunity with Carter and Chance, who are phenomenally tag team. They're phenomenally in the ring. And I was impressed with Caden Carter last night. You know, phenomenal match. She on her singles, you know, she put an inverted figure four on Paxley. Wow. That was awesome to see that move. She says, "It's going to be over." And she put it on her. And of course, Paxley, she fought. She crawled, and she got to the bottom of the rope to force that break. That was pretty cool. How did that look out there for you?
It looked really good. I mean, like I said, everything about NXT is good. I just, you know, I can't stand the colors, but, you know.
All right, I got you. You're part of the black and gold facet. You know, I'm more now getting into the Miami Vice type of colors that we see there with the neon colors. So I'm, you know, I like the neon a little bit, but I get you. So we get a chance. Carter looks for an alley-oop bomb, but Paxley counters it and picks up the pin. So encouraged, you know, and Carter was, upset. So Tatum Paxley gets the first one here on a singles for victory. I was shocked. I was like, you know what, man, I really like Chase and Carter. I would love them to be women's NXT champion, but tag team champions, excuse me. And Tatum Paxley winning, I get it. They're setting up a story, so I'm almost okay with it. At first, I was like, really, Tatum? But you can't really bury her too much, you know. Can't have her to take some losses, but yeah, I think this is going to be a storyline that's going to be dragged out with some many more matches, Samurai.
I concur.
All right. So we will keep an eye on that 2 weeks to come for these ladies. I don't think that's in the end of these two ladies or these four ladies, in matter of fact. So we move on to a singles match, a little bit of a grudge match here. We saw last week at Bass of the Beach, they were all in their apartment complexes where they stay, and they were all having a barbecue cookout. You saw Sangha chilling and Duke Hudson swimming in the water, looking, you know, with his chest all out, and Sangha decides to take a big cannonball and gets water in Hudson's ear. So they had a little bit of back and forth here. So that's the story leading up to tonight's match. It was a grudge match, Sangha versus Duke Hudson. You know, one guy in the arena besides Grayson Waller gets a lot of heat. That crowd is Duke Hudson. You know, I don't know if the Dookie chants came out on TV. I don't know if you heard it. If it sounded there was the Dookie chants from him. Of course, I'm a big fan of the big man Sangha. You know, I'm personally really like him coming out. You know, he is just a big, larger-than-life guy there coming out there. These two big, massive guys going at it. What was your thought? It looked like Godzilla, King Kong. What's your thought on that matchup?
I mean, realistically, I think that the right person won. I mean, because, like, I like Duke Hudson, don't get me wrong. I don't know where they're going with Duke Hudson's character. I mean, is he still the poker guy, or what's going on with that?
You're right. I feel what you're saying here. Duke Hudson feels a little lost because 2 weeks ago, we saw Duke Hudson got pretty much squashed by Bron Breakker in like about 5 minute match. He came out there, he got totally destroyed by Bron Breakker. Duke Hudson's a little bit of a losing streak. He's another wrestler who has value. He's a veteran of the ring. He knows how to get people heat. He knows how to come out and get the crowd to despise and dislike him. Also, he fits the mold. He's 6'6". You know, he's well fit. He is, you could tell that his value, his knowledge helps out the young wrestlers around him. You know, let me tell you something. I think Hudson, if you ask him to go to the main roster tomorrow, he'll fit in perfect. He is a clean in-ring competitor who sells the moves. He sells the moves when he gets hurt. He sold that choke slam, or a lot of the, you know, sidewalk slam, you know, or the snake eyes by Sangha, you know, and the drop elbows. He sold it. And especially that big choke slam for the win. He came out hurt. He looked, you know, grabbed him by the neck, used all his momentum. We saw Sangha gets the win. Hudson is ready. He could go. But I think Hudson himself likes the role that he's in NXT. Despite him losing, and I'm not saying he likes to be a jobber. Nobody wants to be a jobber, but he understands why he's getting paid by the WWE here and where he's at in NXT in his career. I think he's comfortable with that. And I think he has a purpose in NXT going forward and what he's doing in NXT coming right now, helping the young guys get over and get that heat. And I think, you know, personally, that's where he fits. I think Duke Hudson, that's where I think his career is at right now, Samurai.
I agree with you there. I do have a question. I wasn't like really focused on Sangha's ring gear. What was he wearing? Was he wearing the singlet, or was he wearing just trunks?
It was like a trunks, like, you know, like just black. Just generic black trunks.
I mean, I think he should stay with that, because I mean, if he wears the singlet, it makes him look like Braun Strowman.
I got you. I know that. And I mentioned a part, one funny part of the match between these two big guys. you know, I started saying, you know, when it, I don't, sometimes it gets quiet. I don't know if they go commercial breaks, whatever. And I able to scream. I said, you know, hey, Sanga, you need a manscape. And then 2 seconds later, I don't know if you've noticed that. What did Duke Hudson do to Sanga's chest? He started ripping his hair out. I'm not taking credit. I'm not saying I'm part of WWE Creative or, you know, or telling them to do that. But it was funny to me. It was, you know. And then he must have thought the same thing, you know. He started pulling his hair. So, you know, that was a funny moment for me, you know, screaming out there. So that was funny there. So we move on. Sanga gets the victory. And, you know, Sanga now could put that feud away with Hudson and see where Sanga goes. You know, maybe, he, you know, and we'll see what Duke Hudson, you know, we know what Duke Hudson is going to be there in NXT. And we'll see. I don't think he'll get called up. If he does, he, Maximo Del Mato, perfect. He fits. We'll see with that. We get to the match, the crossover hour. Big match here. We saw last week, you know, before that, you know, you have Solo Sikoa taking on Von Wagner. So, all right, let's see what this is here. This is, looks like two big men here. You know, maybe Sokoa's biggest opposition currently right now in NXT. What you think? You think that Von Wagner, Baker, his biggest competition here or no? Or you think he had better?
Yes. Okay. I think that Von Wagner and Solo Sikoa work well together. Well, They work well together, but then at the same time, nobody wanted to match. So, I think they're gonna go like a street. They're gonna go like a street.
Okay. All right. So these two guys, the match starts in the back, and these two, the Samoan technician, the Wagner, they go all over. They start the match in the ring. It seems like a double count out. The match, they were just going at it, you know, Wagner and Solo Sikoa, you know, mid, you know, oh my God, Solo then tried to go for a mid rope choke him as the referee warns him. Solo weathers several minutes of abuse from Wagner before making his comeback. Solo sent Wagner to the corner, hit him with a charging hip attack, you know, to see the Wagner rolls outside. Solo follows him and the two just brawl. You know, at the table, the two just, it was a brawl. I love it. Sometimes we miss it. It's those brawls. I like the brawl. You know, we later on, and we see in the show, the brawl continued. It continued throughout the whole entire night in the parking lot. I was like, oh my God, my car. Don't go nowhere in my car, please. So, but all in all, it was good. That looked good. It looked like Monday Night, the old Monday Night Raw brawls.
It did. But like I said, this feud's far from over. I do think they're gonna go to like a street fight type of thing, like a street fight type of match, because like they couldn't be contained.
No, they didn't. So that's gonna be see where that sets up. What's next for these two big guys here? We'll revisit the last time when we see them. They fight everywhere from the locker room, you know, all the way outside to the NXT, like I said, and outside to the parking lot. I was like, oh no, I was looking for him. If I see my car, I gotta go running out there. So no, thank God it wasn't out there. But then we go to a promo, or we get a video package. Andre Chase, he takes his group to London. Brody Hardwood and Thea Hale, they visit London. You saw Chase, you know, touching and showing them the sights and sounds. You saw Abbey Road in London, Buckingham Palace, you know, and Chase U thinks about branching out. And we know that Andre Chase is going to get knighted. So it was a funny little spot there with Chase U. Of course, I was sitting next to the right of me was the Chase U section. You had a lot of alumni there. And guys, you got to check out the match on Level Up. If those Level Up, please check it out on the Peacock Network. It will be on Friday night. But Chase U, Andre Chase, and Brody, both for entire team action. It was a good match, guys. It was really good. Check out Level Up. I recommend it. It's going to be a good match there. And then we get the singles match. One of the ladies that the NXT Universe in the Performance Center, when we go week in, week out, very unappreciative. The crowd, us as a crowd, love her. We love her because when there's cutting promos, when they go away from commercials, she goes out of her way above and beyond to accommodate the front row, the fans, pictures with the kids, autographs, conversation is the one and only Indy Hartwell. Indy Hartwell, it is what you talk about, wrestling sweetheart of NXT. She may not be the one that wins and gets over, whatever the case is, whatever situation, but when it comes to fanfare, she gets it. She gets it. She goes above and beyond. If anyone from, you know, I hope she doesn't get in trouble with the universe, but they see her doing that, so while they're there, but she is phenomenally very accommodating to all the, and everyone's very respectful too. I want to commend the NXT universe to respecting her too when she comes and takes those pictures and greet her the crowd. She's over, you know, the pipe. So she's taking on Last Legend. Now, of course, you saw Last Legend cut a promo with a basketball, you know, and former WNBA player. She comes out and the match. I don't know. The match wasn't so. It wasn't inspiring, Samurai. What do you thought the match between these two big ladies? These ladies.
It was horrible.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not gonna sugarcoat anything. It was just a really bad match. I don't like Lash Legend. She's just very very clumsy in the ring. She needs to really work on her timing. She needs a better sense of everything. I mean, she's really just continue working in the PC. Like, go back to training some more, because that match itself was horrible. But you know, she could have done something better to salvage it, but she didn't.
Yeah, the match was a little clunky. I understand that what they were trying to do. There was a storyline. We'll get to it right now. I understand you put a Lash Legend in there with a ring veteran, you know, an NXT veteran, with Hartwell. Try to make it look good there. Also, one thing I don't agree with the NXT universe was calling Lash Legend Lash is trash. I respect personally. I don't want to sound. I goof around every time I yell and I look at the camera and I say, Keith Lee, you suck. But I do it as a gimmick to be joking, although I really don't like Keith Lee's style of wrestling. But I respect the fact that he's an in-ring performer. As a big guy like myself going in there and doing those moves, it's not easy. It's easy. He's light on his feet. I respect that. Now, for a wrestler to be called Lashes Trash, she's still a lady. You know, at the end of the day, she's a mom. You know, she has feelings for her. You know, I understand that she's not clean and she's clunky and she's not the most, her wrestling matches are not appealing right now, but to call her Lash is trash, damn, I feel so bad for her because, you know, and I wanted, and I, you know, I will give her the clap, and when she sees that clap, and I go, and I give her the thumbs up as an encouragement, and I know she doesn't care, she can't break character, but just to show, you know, we respect the fact that you're a former WNBA athlete in this world. And yes, she needs to clean up her wrestling in-ring performance, absolutely. But to go out of the way to call her Lashes Trash, I thought it was a little bit tasteless. I don't like it. I don't personally don't like it. But one thing we did feel sorry for in this match, and of course, when it's clunkiness, it just spreads like a virus. You know, you saw Indy Hartwell was going to go for a finishing off the rope, and her foot slipped, and she kind of botched it, but they kind of recovered with a little bit of a roll there. It still looked clunky, but all in all, we get a winner, Indy Hartwell, with the victory. I felt so bad for Indy Hartwell because she really goes above and beyond to work hard, and that just was a slip on the rope, and the rope looked as slick, and she just fell, man. Ugh, how bad did it look on TV, man?
It was. It actually looked pretty bad on TV, yeah, man. And you have to actually go and watch it back, because like you thought.
No, I thought it was bad too when I saw her, because she slipped and she hit and her knees hit the on the apron. Boom! I was like, oh no! I was like, oh, there's a botch. Yeah. I feel bad for her, but we saw some extracurricular activity there. Was with Albert Fry came out. Albert Fire comes out and took a couple shots at her at, at Lash with that bat around side. So they're building that feud. I thought that was the best part of this, to salvage that situation with her. You saw, first we saw Alba up on the podium with the basketball in her hand. I was like, okay. If she would have had a basketball and putting it on fire, that would have been dope. But I understand, because of safety reason, performance center small, you don't want to touch faith there, you know, panicking, whatever the case. I understand that. Good thing they went away from the side of precaution there with that there. And of course she came in, chased her away, and looks like that's going to be a hot feud. I just hope that Lash Legend, like you said, go back and get some more work hours. They sent her to England to work with some instructors in England. She was in NXT UK for a little bit there recently to work there while they were on tour. When they took that two and a half week hiatus from live taping on Tuesday nights, Legend Lash was in England along, you know, we saw that Brooks and Benson are the UK tag titles. So they worked some back and forth there. So hopefully for Lash Legend, they could find her the right instructor or producer to help her with her moves, in-ring ability. And I think maybe an Indy Hartwell, because I could tell because of the height and the length that both ladies have, probably could help. We shall see. I hope Elash get better as an in-ring performer. I'm going to be rooting for you. To me, you're not trash. I hope you continue working hard. So for Lash Legend. So we move on here. We have a tag team match. The D'Angelo family taking on Edis Adofe and Malik Blade. Now, I thought it was going to be Joaquin Wilde and Cruz, because he said he had to prove them to them, you know. So I said, all right, I thought there was going to be, you know, we were going to get them to tag. No, it was actually the Don and Stax, you know. So the match was a good match. Let me tell you something, Samurai. Every week after week as it passes, Adolphe and Malik Blade are looking better and better in the ring. Have you noticed that, or is it just me? You know, be totally honest. Have you seen nothing change? But yeah, I see they're getting better.
Yeah, they are getting better. I mean, I never said I didn't like Adolphe and Blade. I mean, they have the makeup of a potential, you know, tag team championship run. You know, I don't think they're gonna. I mean, I thought they were gonna turn. They're gonna turn when they had to talk to Cameron Grimes, but they're still doing their thing. So, I think they're gonna be fine. But yeah, they have been a lot better.
And the match was good. You know, the back and forth tagging on that, you know, they were beating up on Stax, you know, they were tagging crisp and clean in and out, you know. I liked it.
Yeah.
The hot tag, you know, that Malik gets that hot tag in, you know, and he takes out the D'Angelo family, but it was short, you know, for a little bit there, you know. You know, you saw that Adolphe got hurt and was pushed out, and you know, by Tony Angelo in the stairs, took him out for a little bit there, and you saw the tag double team for the victory. Tony D'Angelo getting the victory there on both Adolphe and Malik Blade. But then what happened was not just because of the way D'Angelo family won. They won, you know, with a pin, but after the match, you saw that he ordered Joaquin and Cruz del Toro to just lay a beat down on them to prove their loyalty to the family, and they did. So, I thought they were going to be looks like they're falling in line with the Don.
I mean, yeah, until you know, I mean, they know who took out Santos Escobar, but they don't want to act on it yet, because they don't want to. I feel like they don't want to mess up the plan that Santos has.
You're right. You're indeed. We should. That's gonna be good. When I hope they, you know, everybody in NXT misses to hear the Legado Fantasma intro music. You know, we would all love to sing along to Legado, and you know, we miss it. We miss that, but I can't wait when they get to play that song again. When they break away from D'Angelo, it's gonna get a pop, and that building is gonna erupt. I can't wait for that there. So backstage, we go to an interview. We see the one and only, the voluptuous Nikita Lyons, were asking about the ambush on Roxanne Perez. You know, they're going to let her talk on the mic, you know, in front of a mic. She says, you know, she says she has no issues with Roxanne Perez, but if she can't go, to let her know that she puts on her gear and she'll be ready to take on Mandy Rose. So you kind of was like, just as the internet is saying it's me, everyone's writing it's me, but it wasn't me. But if Roxanne can't go, I'm ready to go. So I was like, ooh, Nikita, that would be something. No, no, Roxy, Nikita Lyons, surprise. And if she comes out, I say, yeah, Mandy's losing tonight to Nikita. But we shall see there. What was your thoughts on Nikita's promo?
I mean, it was good. It wasn't too long. It was very short and sweet. It was to the point. She sounded like, she didn't sound like, let's say, how Charlotte Flair sounds on SmackDown. She didn't sound like a robot. She sounded more like natural.
Yeah, you're right with that there. And then before we get to the main event, we saw backstage interview. Well, actually, we saw backstage Toxic Attraction walking, coming to making their way there. You know, it was the build up. You saw the build up there. They cut a promo on Roxy Perez, claimed she was not woman enough to face Rose. You know, it was not woman enough. So Jade comes out, brought out a few moments. They joined Perez in the main event. We'll see what's going on. So we finally get to the night here. We get to the women's match. We get Toxic Attraction comes out first. You see Cora Jade comes out. So it looks like Cora Jade said she was going to step in and take the match. So I'm like, oh. Did you thought it was Cora Jade that was going to actually take the match when she came out?
I did. Honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I really did. I thought that, you know, she was going to, you know, win the title for Roxanne. Because, you know, they are best friends. So you would think that she's doing it for Roxy, but that was not the case. Roxanne ended up coming out and, you know, tape ribs and all.
She was with tape ribs and all. Now, the match, you saw Rose expose those ribs. I remember one time when she pulled the tape, the gauze of the tape. She tossed it to the crowd, right into the lady's hand, some lady that was sitting there in the thing. And I'm sorry, I had to be so facetious. You know, she had the tape in her hands, and I said, I bet you she smells it. I bet she takes a sniff, and everybody started laughing. Because it was like, it was just hilarious there to the lady who got the tape from Mandy Rose's ribs. The match, we knew that, I don't know, I didn't think, I had a feeling that maybe, you know what, damn, Roxanne Perez win on an average Tuesday night, though, in the middle of July. On the 12th of July to take Mandy Rose, who has a nice streak going. I said, but I said, I had a little bit of a mixed reaction there. I said, I could see if WWE has Mandy Rose drop the NXT title tonight, because Friday night SmackDown is going to be live from Orlando. That way you could debut by return of Mandy Rose along with Toxic Attraction. And then you could say that Toxic Attraction is here to reclaim those vacant tag team champions of the ladies. And we're going to set up a tournament and winner will be crowned in SummerSlam. So I was, you know, thinking along those lines. I said, that makes sense. You got Toxic Attraction along with Randy Rose, and Randy Rose could come back. I'm back on the main roster. I'm coming for the SmackDown Women's Champion. And I'm bringing, you know, along Toxic Attraction. I said, you know what, if she loses tonight, but then I also said earlier, and I was the only heel in the ring, in the area, my section earlier, when I saw the attack early tonight, I said, you know what, I think I know who did it. And I said who it was, and before all that, before I give the spoiler, who was the attacker, we saw some great wrestling there. Also, the you know, Rose attempted to spear in the corner, but Roxanne Perez moved. You know, you see that they went on the outside of the ring, and you saw the pop rocks on Mandy Rose out in their apron. You saw Toxic Attraction interfering And then I saw Cora Jade just watching, not, you know, trying to, but the referee holding, kind of like telling her to stay in the corner. I remember I said, Cora, take the skateboard. And but all and behold, she gets the, she takes her tag title belts, and a classic heel turn nails Roxy Perez, and Roxy was devastated. Now, she nailed her. While I was like, whoa, did that catch you by surprise?
Yes, it did. It did. I didn't expect it, because I thought she was gonna like help her in the ring. But then the next thing you know, she takes out her title belt and smacks her in the back with it. I was like, wow.
Yes, and to Perez, looked like her heart was completely disrupted, and of course, it allows Rose to get the pin, hit her with her finish to pick up the win, and she's still NXT World Champion, Mandy Rose. And at the end of the match there, you saw when Toxic Attraction gets down on the rope, down, and they saw Cora Jade, and you saw Jane looked at her like, okay. I thought she was going to join Toxic Attraction at that moment, but no, she went in the ring, and she just, classic heel, finished off Jade, entered the ring, and kneeled on her and yelled at her, you know, call her selfish. You could hear that a little bit, you know, called it selfish, and said that she brought Perez into the NXT, and she made her a beast, and with her skateboard, which was kind of the worst botch in a heel turn, to, it would have been epic, but the skateboard was already broken, and it looked kind of comical, but we got the point of her breaking the skateboard on her, but it looked comical there. But all in all, Cora Jade has turned heel. Now, what is going to happen to the NXT tag titles here? Here's another tag team, a women's tag team, with titles that are up in the air. You know, a tournament. Who knows what's going to happen? What's your thoughts on the whole ending, the whole aftermath, all that?
I mean, the whole skateboard thing was what really people are talking about. because it broke it before she hit it with it. But at the same time, I don't know what they're gonna do with the titles. I mean, what they should do is they should just like merge both NXT and the main roster women's tag team championships, just make one title, and then like have them put it across all three brands like they were supposed to be doing.
Oh, never thought about that.
I mean, that's what I would do, but that's, you know, I'm not a booker or writer, so I can't, you know, can't give you insight there. But you know, I don't know. I just feel like the whole heel turn was just like disrupted by the whole skateboard breaking prematurely.
Yeah, that kind of it was a good classic heel turn. Because no one really expected that night, because they just, a week prior, they just won the NXT tag titles. You're telling me a week later, you know, you're already breaking up this tag? Not because, I understand why, because Jade is just jealous. I can see that, Clyde, but, you know, do you do what they did with Nash, you know, have next week Toxic Attraction come out, take on Cora Jade, you know, because Roxy won't be able to compete because she's hurt. But he goes, I would defend the tag titles myself, you know, and you get the finger push, the, you know, and the pin, the finger pin like they did with Kevin Nash many years ago, and you give Toxic Attraction the titles that in a cheap way, but you get some major, major heat, you know, and especially if Cora Jade wants to be a major heel with a lot of heat, you could always look to the past to embrace the present to the future. Maybe you could do that. What's your thought? You think it would be cheap, or be like, oh, that's just copycatting stuff?
I mean, it's not really copycatting because we haven't seen it in over 20 years. But, I mean, everything is basically copy and paste. We all know this. So it's not really, it wouldn't really be much of a difference. I just feel like if they do it, they should do it right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right with that. You're right with that there. So it'll be interesting. I can't wait for next week for the NXT 2.0 to see, you know, the fallout on this year, what Roxanne Perez had to say, you know, what's going on with this, with the tag team titles. You know, we didn't see the world's champion either, Ron Breakker, who's in a sling. you know, supposedly because of the injury to the shoulder, but he'll be, you know, it's just a couple of days off. It'll be interesting. We're also going to have JD McDougal taking on Cameron Grimes. So we'll see what transpires. And yeah, NXT keeps elevating. It keeps getting much better. You know, I really appreciate the Enofe and Malik Blade's performance. You know, of course, the Don, Tony D'Angelo, always puts on a good show. He actually greeted us before we entered the NXT arena, outside before the crowd was let into the metal detectors. You know, the scanning, he was behind there, and he was pumping us up. Hey! And he cut, a crowd promo out there, and he gets it. Tony D'Angelo's another one. Yes, he's a heel, but when the cameras are not seen, he caters to us, the fans. He gets us riled up in a good way. He I like that, you know, and that's why it makes it so personable to go to NXT. If you guys are ever in the Orlando area or going to visit Orlando area, and you're going to be here with a Tuesday night during Orlando, and you want to take a break from the parks, you know, and all that camaraderie, go to sign up Monday night, go and be able to part of the NXT program live. It's fun. You should try it. Check it out before everyone poo-poos it or knocks it. You know, there's some guys who are all the way across the country in England saying how NXT is terrible, you know, podcast. And dude, come to Orlando, check it out. Orlando is not what you think. You know, it's not dangerous. Guys say, oh, Orlando, oh my god, Orlando, they look, the mean streets of Orlando where people get, no, it's this place is, it's safe, it's family. They, you know, we have Disney, we can't afford tourists to get hurt. There's, believe me, it's a lot of security here. You know, it's just a show that they put on that people in the NXT world. Come check it out. Come to an NXT Live. It's fun. It's really fun. The crowd, everyone there is fun. I like it. It's like a family because you see a lot of the regulars, and then you see some new people come in and out. Definitely, guys, come check. I would advise you to come check out NXT on Tuesday nights. It is a fun place. WWE's getting it right. I don't care what anyone says. You know, if you don't like it, don't find more power for me to go to see these performers in person. That's why I'm okay with that. Samurai, before we get going, I have a little bit of a spoiler. Are you intrigued?
Sure.
All
right.
My spoiler that I'm going to come out with is that I said if you saw the Raw preview, which for some reason it's going to air after this here. I mixed up I recorded it earlier, and editing part of the hour of the date, I picked the wrong date. So the Raw spoilers coming up soon. I reviewed Monday Night Raw. It's gonna come out at 6. Now I said that this Friday night it is WWE SmackDown in my city of Orlando. I'm saying Bayley will make her appearance. Bayley will reappear to the WWE universe. She's been in Orlando for almost a month and a half. Also, Miss Sasha Banks, who people say she's no longer on the roster. She's been internally released. They took her avatar off in Peacock, whatever, all that crap. I'm not saying she's gonna show up on Friday in SmackDown, but any day now we'll be hearing that she's gonna get a new contract. She was in Orlando, of course, 2 weeks ago when they did the Logan Paul signing. Everyone from Stephanie, Hunter, and McMahon, they all were here in Orlando. They met with Sasha Banks and her people. Guaranteed they're going to come up with a new contract. She's not going anywhere. I know that. She'll be back to perform here. Also, you see Naomi also is going to get a new contract. That's all going to get worked out. It's probably going to be in September going forward. Also, I'm going to also give another spoiler here with The Miz and everyone with Ciampa. I mentioned it. I think all that is leading when they go to SummerSlam with Paul. Logan Paul is going to turn out to be a face. I think he's going to have AJ Styles in his corner against The Miz and Ciampa. I can see the double cross again from Logan Paul and AJ Styles costing them that. And I'm going to say And in Tennessee, you're going to have Tyson Fury interfere and get involved, and it's going to set up for Clash in the Castles, you know, either AJ with Tyson Fury taking on Miz and Logan Paul. That's just my take, my thought about it, and that's just my, you know, I have no insights. It's just me saying it out there. It looks like it. It looks like it's they're going to, and eventually it's going to be either in Saudi Arabia or in the Crown Jewel or in Royal Rumble, probably Tyson Fury taking on Logan Paul. You put that in Crown Jewel, you're giving them those people a lot of stuff. Remember, that's a big event for the WWE financially. That's going to be a one-on-one match, but first you're going to have that build-up, I think, in Clash of the Castles. Just my thoughts. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, it could happen. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. So, you know, anything you heard, any notes or anything that you heard or any spoilers or any rumors or anything that you heard that you want to bring it out to the light?
We talked about this before the show. The Edge vignette, which, like, we all know, we now know it's Edge, but it also he's not coming alone, apparently.
I don't think so. I'm hearing Edge is going to probably, you know, I don't know, everyone wants Bray Wyatt. Personally, I do myself. I would like to see Bray Wyatt come out. But one thing I said was, if you're going to bring Edge in another dark facet, and I mentioned it earlier, why didn't you just stay in Judgment Day? You know, I would have liked him to just, if he was going to be dark and that mysterious, Judgment Day fits. But it is what it is. It, you know, also another name to check out is Killer Cross. You know, might be another one that might be part of that Edge facet. Remember, he's not going to have to, he can't, him coming alone, what good does it do against those two, Damian Priest and Finn Balor, you know, doesn't make, and also with Rhea Ripley, you could actually bring Killer Cross and his wife in part of the Edge, you know, bringing her in there. They also talked about Beth Phoenix possibly returning to the ring, but we shall see. We'll see there. And let me ask you this, did you scan that QR code from NXT last night?
No, my phone was charging, so I didn't.
It's a bunch of letters with a lot of C's, and it's like a word puzzle. I didn't get to do it. I got it on DVR after the program. I'm gonna do it. It apparently has a bunch of names that you're supposed to put together. I have no idea because the week before it was a bunch of numbers. This was like a Wordle type of puzzle. I saw some people in the arena showed it, and I didn't pay too much attention because I wanted to do it on my own phone. But it'll be interesting to see where they're going with that with NXT. You know, it's fun because it had everyone with their phones out on NXT trying to get that screen, that QR code from the big Titantron in NXT there. So it was funny to see that. I wonder what they're doing. It's something else that WWE is doing. But it shall be interesting, though. So other than that, I have nothing else. I want to end the Heal the Ring NXT 2.0 podcast here with that. I just want to say, guys, thank you guys for joining me. Thank you for joining myself, Samurai. If you're new to the channel, please hit that subscribe and hit notification bell. If you like wrestling, which we're growing, we're trying to grow. We got Heal who does Rampage and Dynamite with Adam, the Diff Man. They're going to be doing their reviews as well as the Raw, SmackDown. And we're going to be doing more wrestling watch-alongs if we're not there live and so forth. So we're a growing podcast of wrestling. You've been knowing me. If you're new, I've been watching wrestling since 1982. So I've seen the ups and downs of the whole wrestling card. You know, and it's not about what I know. It's just I love wrestling, you know, and I'm surrounding myself with good guys who know about wrestling, and we just talk about it, you know. We talk about it and we break it down, and we're just like you guys. So I hope you guys join us, come along with the ride. We are everywhere in audio platforms, such as Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, anywhere you find your podcast. Just put BX Sports Jedi Network, The Heel of the Ring, and it'll tell you the different wrestling programs there, and you can listen to it on the audio platform. We'll definitely appreciate it, and we thank you guys for also giving us, follow us on the Heel of the Ring Facebook page, you know, a group page where, you know, we put out all the written notes and different things, and not just WWE, not just NXT, not just AEW, but all wrestling, even from independents, from all the, even the Mexican luchador cards independent from the luchadores. We cover that and we put it there. We don't do a podcast about it because, my God, I cover so many other sports, I won't be able to have time. Although, you know, we love luchador, we like Mexican wrestling, we love, you know, the Triple A, we like the, you know, Adam loves New Japan wrestling, you know, so we just have so many guys that love the sport of wrestling, the sports entertainment value of wrestling, and we thank you guys. We want you to join us on board with the program. And with this note, I want to say thank you guys again. Don't forget, we're going to have the AEW Dynamite review possibly Friday instead of Thursday because the Diff Man has a little work schedule change, so we'll probably move it to Friday. So stay tuned. That's why you got to hit the notification bell. But anyway, I definitely want to thank you guys. Don't forget the SmackDown review, and we'll see you next time here. Remember, get over on life and always pin the situation. Remember, don't let the situation pin you. And from me to you, man, remember the sports we with you, man. Well, and Samurai, say goodnight before we get out of here.
Good night, peoples. There also, give me a follow on the good old Twitch at Samurai15Luke, twitch.tv/Samurai15Luke.
There you go. So please do that there. And we thank you guys. And we'll see you next time.
I'm awesome! You people bought a ticket to see me, so shut up.
Get so mad, there's no control.
Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock,
I might grab a bat, I don't know, my rap, my blood boils overnight. Oh God, here goes, I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show.
So have you ever felt betrayed? Switches how you see things, realize something needs change. Cause I know you got me fucked up, let me show you what's up. Cause enough is enough. I'll take a face full of pavement just to make a statement. I know there's no turning back. Oh God, adrenaline wasted. So mad I can taste it. I know there's no turning back. I'll do what it takes. I ain't making mistakes like that. I'll bleed on your face just to make you go take it back. I'll lose my shit. I go crazy when I'm.
Everybody!